Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So Charles, there's really only one thing on journalists' mind at the moment, isn't there? As
money and sex.
Money.
I'm sorry, I set you up to begin our podcast with a question and then I just...
Yeah, I walked into that one. That's why I always let you start, because whatever I
say... Yes, shut up!
...some stupid fucking thing to say. What is the one thing on every journalist's mind at the moment as we sit here today on Wednesday the 6th of January? Oh my God...
Well, I mean, it ought to be focusing on the day, the fact that Boris Johnson is to give evidence at the COVID inquiry today and for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Which luckily we can't podcast about because he hasn't done it yet.
I'm quite depressed that after everything, he's still such a draw. Everyone's so excited to see him perform. It's really annoying.
It is very annoying.
It's annoying. But we're not going to talk about Boris because he hasn't given his evidence to the inquiry yet. So what is it that journalists are most focused on now, this week of all weeks?
Well, like everybody, the miracle of the little baby Jesus. The wise men following the star. Why, there's laughter all round. It's the miracle. It's the greatest story ever told. Christ is born. Christ is risen. Christ is the other thing he did. This Jew is focused on Christmas because, like all journalists, basically, journalists want to have that time off at Christmas, but you, the listeners, and you, the readers, expect to have a newspaper every day, just about bar Christmas Day, although now they do an electronic edition. And some years, my column falls in the middle of Christmas week. Sometimes it falls on Christmas Day, and there isn't an edition, and it's woohoo! As long as I've used up my holiday for the year, I get a free one on Christmas Day, like Bob Cratchit. This year, my Saturday columns, which is what we're talking about here, fall on Boxing Day. So are normally written on Christmas Day for Boxing Day and on January the 2nd. So I would have to write on Christmas Day and New Year's Day and I can't.
Yep. So everyone wants time off over Christmas. So everything you read, basically from about the 20th of December onwards,
yes.
It's all been written in June, or it was written last week, or likely it's being written this week.
Well, it's the TV programmes that are done in June. As a veteran of TV specials of the various shows that I've done, that's in a woolly jumper with snow being blown all over a suburban garden in August and then dressed up trying to pretend, and everyone knows that, trying to pretend it's Christmas. The journalism is all done now. But this is, and not just features, this is the topical journalism. This is you turn to your comment page on Boxing Day to read the column, and who knows, but...
Weirdly, it's a long thing about YA novels by James Marriott.
Yes, or Giles Corran writing about chocolate puddings, says Nigella, rather than Christmas puddings.
Yes.
When Taiwan might have been nuked by China the day before. Can't respond, sorry. Yeah. All the sub-editors are eating turkey.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're going to do today is find a topic for this week, but also find topics for all the ones between Christmas, which look more or less like a topical column.
But are sort of timeless and aren't going to offend anyone. Or actually, oh no, scratch that.
Traditionally, oh no, we've got to offend people. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, one of them will be by me a rewriting of the Nativity story.
Yeah.
A decree went out from Caesar Augustus, but it'll be, a decree went out, it goes far back enough from Caesar Blair, or whatever. You put Blair in for Herod or Augustus, you put Boris in, you put Theresa, and you write a satirical, not really
There's
thing.
There's a Bible spoof. We've managed to regenerate your Bible spoof most years quite successfully. I can't remember what it was last year. Was it a woke Bible?
I've done that. I've done a trans one. I've done the miracle of the Trump child.
Yeah.
It was three stupid men from the East, and it was Nigel Farage, Boris Johnson, and someone else. And it's all we know. I have, however, it could be like a game in the gallimaufry of topics which we'll discuss today. One of them I've earmarked for my nativity spoof. So we'll see if we can do it. So should we start with some Christmas ideas, or should we start with something topical?
Why don't you start?
The other day we were gathered around, gathered around the Christmas tree. We haven't got it yet. We're moving slowly on Christmas.
Yes.
They did the advent calendars. We've got some little bits of decoration here and there. There's a wreath on the door. I put some Christmas tunes on. And the kids were upstairs, and they were coming downstairs, and it started to play Last Christmas. And you went, no, stop, boom, turned it off. What? What? The kids are playing Whamageddon. What? What? Fuck, what? Whamageddon?
Whamageddon is an internet thing where you see how long you can get through December without hearing Last Christmas by Wham. Now, I was a little bit upset this year because I was in John Lewis in Brent Cross, my spiritual home. And it was still in, it was like November the 20th, and I heard All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey, and I was quite annoyed, and I very nearly complained. But then I thought, no, don't be that person.
Nearly complained?
I nearly complained. I said, why are you playing All I Want for Christmas on November the 20th? That's not okay. Anyway, so in that same spirit, the kids are seeing how long they can go through December without hearing Last Christmas by Wham, and it's an internet thing.
It's an internet thing. So what people are trying to do now, I thought, here is a column that can be used on Boxing Day. The trick for young journalists out there is you don't send it to the newspaper now to hold on to, because they'll get bored with it. They'll see it in what we call the queue, waiting to go, and they'll go... It'll go stale. So what you do is I will hold on to it, and then I will deliver it...
as fresh.
When they've asked me for the third time on Christmas Eve, worried that they won't get home to their babies, here, and they go, this old shit, and I go, whoa, what else are you going to do? Blank page? Fuck off to Christmas.
It is the one number one trick of filing copy as a freelance journalist. Write it in half an hour, deliver it at the wire.
That was always my motto was, on time, to length, and cheap. And all I've done is change cheap to expensive. And it still works because there's... So, Whamageddon, the way that is a column, obviously, is... I love the idea. Whamageddon, trying to get to Christmas without hearing Wham. 30 other things you might want to get to Christmas...
Without
hearing, seeing...
Eating.
Doing.
Experiencing. Well, all of it. Mulled wine, mince pies.
Can you imagine this list looking good? Mulled wine, but you've got to make it funny. Mulled wine with the bits of sultana floating in and all sticky on the rim.
Disgusting. Revolting.
Without eating a Pret Christmas sandwich.
Yeah, great. Well done.
The Morecambe and Wise special.
Without hearing a single guest-edited edition of the Today programme.
Yes. Without wearing a Christmas jumper.
Without wearing a Christmas jumper. Thank you very much, Neil.
Neil's muttered that. I knew you were here. He's actually wearing one now. It's got rotating reindeer
Neil
nipples.
Is one of those very cold people. I think he might be a lizard.
Without seeing Love Actually.
Oh, yeah.
Vom, vom. Or anything else to do with... Although I'm quite friendly with Emma Freud, who's married to Richard Curtis, so I can't be too mean, because they do read the column.
Neil's going
to
cut it out, don't worry.
No, not the... He can be in the podcast.
Okay.
Just
in the column, okay.
In the column, yes, but just like not too mean. I can just say without seeing Love Actually.
I tell you what Christmas film I loved.
What?
It's called Last Christmas. I'll tell you the plot later. You will laugh.
A different column about some films.
Different films about... How about a kind of room temperature supermarket mince pie in a little foil cup? You managed to dodge those.
It's really cold mince pie.
You can sort of taste the trans fats.
Queuing up... in a high street shop like The Gap or something with a present behind 27 people queuing and eventually going, fuck it, and just throwing it.
Really, really sweaty.
And then throwing it on the floor and storming out.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Without thinking, oh, fuck, I didn't send any Christmas cards. That's probably why I haven't got any, or is it just I have no mates?
Without receiving Christmas cards, still receiving Christmas cards for the people who lived in your house for full 20 years ago.
And they still get more than I do. Okay, that's a principle. It's slowing down as a podcast item. It may not have the legs to go to a column. Other possible Christmas ones can we do?
Yeah.
I think there's a column which can be used, and this one could probably be used on New Year's Day. The story in the papers today that, I cut it out and then I left it upstairs, that people are not eating Christmas pudding, they're eating panettone.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Christmas pudding sales dry up. as we switch to panettone. Middle class, are they saying that panettone's dry? What's the pun there? Middle class Britons are opting for La Dolce Vita, writes Andrew Elson, the consumer affairs correspondent, this Christmas, with sales of panettone now outstripping Christmas pudding. I mean, apropos the previous item, I'd love to get to Christmas Eve without having read some story about how some traditional Christmas thing has been replaced by something else. Nigella, last week, it was chocolate cake instead of Christmas cake.
I know.
Upmarket retailers report that the fluffy Italian cake has become the must-have festive treat as shoppers look for an alternative to the density of Christmas pudding. Selfridges says demand has grown so fast that it now expects to sell three times more panettones than the traditional British favourite. While Waitrose says the Italian classic is currently outselling Christmas pudding after demand jumped, blah, blah, blah. The cake was first made by blah, 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 blah. And then they've got these, they've got the cinnamon bunnatone, which is a cross between a panettone and a cinnamon bun. I mean, they are just desperate to ram this poisonous, sugary crap. Grilled panettone with a boozy Zabaioni cream.
Oh, I hate Zabaioni.
You know, this is just, you know, in the midst of an obesity crisis, when we were just talking about it last week, this morning it was, yesterday morning, 100 billion, bless
sorry.
You, 100 billion pounds cost to the Exchequer from obesity, and they're saying, more panettone, sell them this frosted
one. See, the great thing about Christmas pudding, right, is that it is so dense, you can only have a tiny amount.
So,
but panettone is like whipped sugar. I mean, you can just eat.
Airy sugar. Christmas pudding, the point is, it's not very nice, but it's a ritual. It's once a year.
Also, it is nice.
Oh, it is quite nice. It divides people because it's a bit heavy. An old-fashioned one. My mum was always trying to make a light Christmas pudding. And I thought, wow, once a year you could have, you know, with suet, black, you know.
Yeah, with those like nuts that have gone a bit funny because they've been in a Christmas pudding for 6 months. I am really looking forward to my
nuts
Christmas pudding.
You mean when nuts get a bit sort of wet?
They got a bit sort of...
Because they've absorbed, they've become a bit hydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, delicious.
Love it.
Do you know, I'm so old that when I first had it, they had sixpences in.
You're not...
sixpences.
No, so did I.
Not sixpences they didn't have. You had like 20p's. Sixpences. Actual sixpences.
Okay, that's
very decimalisation old. Came along when I was
one. Yeah, you're the oldest person in the world.
Yeah,
carry
just,
on.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So it's like, good... The things about Christmas, yeah, and like the con would be, yeah, no, you've got to have your Christmas pudding just the same way. I mean, who puts presents in a fucking sock? It's ridiculous, but you do it because it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Who brings in... And we all know the rational killing a tree and bringing it inside to die while hanging plastic crap on it. And that brings in the business of ringing the changes with the Christmas turkey.
Why? You eat it once a year.
You eat it once a year. If you are, even if you are 54 years old like me, you've probably, if you've been eating roast turkey at Christmas since you were five, that I've had 49 plates of Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And how many fry-ups have I had?
Yeah.
10,000?
No, we're talking...
Ring the change with some... rabbit bacon.
Yeah.
You do it the same. You have a lighter, use a platypus egg and have a salad with it or whatever.
Exactly. On the few occasions when you have a duck egg, you go, this is why people don't eat duck eggs.
Everyone knows about sprouts. Anyway, that's the column. I'm not going to go over it here. It's beginning to sound almost too shit even for the Boxing Day column.
No, but it's great.
Is it good?
Yeah. Come on. Buck up. Can we talk about prepping?
Prepping. Yes, all right.
You don't want to talk about prepping.
Well, yes.
No, you do your idea, because you're just going to shit all over my idea.
Okay, well, this Oliver Dowden prepping thing, maybe we can come to it. But look, a third and final idea for Christmas holding.
Oh, yeah.
Death. Death at Christmas.
Death. Dying. Yeah, okay.
And you're all over this. When I was 7 or 8 years old, Charlie Chaplin died on Christmas Day. And that was a big fucking celebrity. He was like nearly 100. The most famous person in the world. It was a whopper. Mm-hmm. Someone, and I always had this notion then that someone massive, Benny Hill, I think, died on Christmas Day. Someone massive dies on Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
But then this year, we had Henry Kissinger, Shane McGowan, and Alistair Darling, P.S. what a band that would be, all died on the same day. Instead of a gruesome column like with the odds of who's going to die on Christmas Day, we could do a who's still alive column.
Yeah, dead or alive. Dead or alive is the funnest game ever, dead or alive. Because it's almost impossible. Like, 2 months ago, if you'd said to me, Henry Kissinger... no idea, dead or alive.
No,
very,
like
very
that,
famous man.
But you knew he was alive because no one had said he was dead because you'd know because you're across the news. That's why this game wouldn't work with me because I know there's no...
Really? Exactly. Do you want to play Dead or Alive? Because there is a website called Dead or Alive where you can test...
You mean there's a website where my column is?
Yes.
You mean I have to simply go to it and copy it out and put it in the Times?
Simply have to copy it out. Dead or Alive. Giles, Pete Burns, Dead or Alive.
You don't get to that, but Pete Burns, he died.
Yeah, shit.
Famously.
Okay, fine.
But that's interesting.
Madonna.
Madonna?
Yeah, Madonna.
She's obviously dead.
Yes.
She died in 1984.
Damn.
They got some sort of Botoxed Italian mama to pretend
to be her. I can't
believe
you totally anticipated my idea. Tony Benn.
Tony Benn's been dead for 15 years. Don't be silly.
Oh, Carrie Fisher. Alive or dead?
Dead. Drug addicts don't really count. It's too easy.
Wait, is she dead?
Yes.
Oh, she is dead. Yeah. Shit.
Just hit me with all of them. Come on.
Robin Williams. Dead.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen. Alive.
Alive.
Just.
No, but you should do some other...
Janet Jackson. Alive or dead?
Alive.
Yeah, she is. George Michael. Dead. Oh, Bill Paxton.
Who's he?
An actor. You'll recognise him. Look.
No, he's alive.
Is he? Yeah. Dead.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a story. All I saw was a headline that said vicars are not going to be replaced by AI.
Yeah, and that's just everything you needed to know. Praise be, AI will not replace vicars. Kaya Burgess. Morning, Kaya. The Church of England has reassured its vicars that they are distinct and indispensable and not set to be replaced by robotic reverends. It comes after a government report suggested the role was among those that would be the most affected by artificial intelligence.
So do you think that, that's what vicars have just been really worried about?
That's what everyone's
worried
about.
That there's going to be some Dalek in the pulpit doing that, just going...
Oh my God. But it wouldn't be because it couldn't get up the stairs.
Well, they would have to do it from the bottom. But I love the fact that vicars are worried about it. The idea that some non-human intelligence might take over and control everything is surely the one thing vicars can deal with.
Yeah. So, the thing is that robot reverend, I mean, like that's, you
more
know.
More tea?
That's it.
More tea robot. So, no, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to sound the nativity pastiche klaxon.
Honk.
Because obviously, with an AI vicar, you'll get an AI nativity.
You will get in it. And lo, the email went out from Caesar Augustus.
Oh, it has to not be an email. It has to be something more modern.
Does it?
Yeah,
WhatsApp
alert.
A WhatsApp broadcast only.
Exactly, went out from Caesar Augustus declaring that all the world should be...
Oh, well, I don't know what the original text said. Taxed.
Oh, God. You see, luckily my readers will know the Bible better than you. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
Okay, so not taxed.
That all the world should be online. All the world should be online. All the world should be fake. A decree went out that all the world should be fake.
Okay.
And the point is, and they saw a, when they see a, not a star in the east, but their drone in the east.
Drone.
You
nice,
know, that sort
nice.
Of a thing. And then the gifts get, with delivering the three gifts so
with
that they
drones,
don't need to go there.
Drones, yeah.
Exactly. And lo, there were shepherds abiding in a field, cocking about in their phones, when lo, the angel of the Lord came down and said, made a TikTok video of everyone and did a selfie.
Yeah, the angel Gabriel.
Yeah, is that a bit hackneyed and trite?
Sorry, this is holding copy.
Oh, yes, it is, so
yeah,
wrong with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so yeah, just go with it, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Can we please talk about prepping?
Yep.
I was incredibly excited by front page story on Tuesday's Times. The headline was, "Don't panic, but stock up on candles, batteries and torches." Oliver Dowden, Deputy Prime Minister, has given the first of what will become annual updates to MPs on the government's National Risk and Resilience Strategy. And it's basically him saying, the general public needs to be more prepared for blackouts, energy losses, tech failure.
Oh, when he said stock up on candles, he wasn't talking about decorating your Christmas tree.
No, he was talking about being prepared for energy outages and like cyber attacks, basically, and saying you should be able to survive for like 2 days on your own personal resources in your house. One of the things about COVID is that the supply chains meant that people didn't have any food in their homes. So, you know, we live in quite a big house and we've got plenty of room to store cans of baked beans and tinned beans.
I think I've still got all the pasta flour from lockdown.
No, I chucked it away. Oh. I chucked it away. It's ridiculous. But
what about the chickpeas for making hummus?
They've gone as well, I think. Because it was like you brought the chickpeas and went, there you go, now you make hummus out of that.
We could have survived 2 days on chickpea lasagna.
Yes, the children would have been delighted. I suppose this is a piece for me to write, because inside I am a major prepper, and I just feel like I have now been given complete license by Oliver Dowden to go and buy my generator, which is the thing that I want more than anything else. Petrol generator is what I want. Look at your face.
You can get really quiet ones now.
I was looking them up on Amazon.
And what does it have? It has a plug on it. You have a thing in your house with carbon monoxide just killing you, roaring away.
Okay, well, it doesn't actually have to be a petrol generator one.
Do you plug the telly into it and then can't hear it?
You can plug the telly into it,
above the noise of the generator. Which just sounds like an ice cream van.
But you don't. Okay, it's not actually a generator, right? It's a thing that you charge up from the mains, and it takes like 7 hours to charge up, and then it's like basically a huge lithium battery, and you can run your phones and your.
We're not getting that. What's interesting is that Oliver Dowden, being Deputy Prime Minister, is that the job is the ultimate prepping job, because he isn't anything. He's just there in case the Prime Minister dies.
Yeah.
And you can just line him up and stick him
in. I just think I'd be a much better Deputy Prime Minister than
Oliver Dowden. He's just a diesel generator equivalent.
I just want to be... Look, if anyone in government's listening, can you please just make me the Minister for Prepping? Because I would be so good. I would get the whole nation completely ready for a 48-hour blackout. You're looking at me...
No!
I can't really describe the face that you're making. But it's like you're...
I was looking behind you at your paper Christmas tree and your three different advent calendars, including two with chocolate in, and thinking, what are your priorities? What are you going to prep with? What am I going to find? When Armageddon comes, what have we got a year's worth supply of? And is it going to be sort of scented candles and sort of lit chocolate bunnies and things, makeup? I'd like to get to December the 24th without another pun headline.
Then you are going to have to stop reading the newspapers. Because this is where sub-editors come into their own.
Yeah, well, bad tidings we bring. Cost of Christmas has risen to £1,800.
Is that all?
That seems to me a lot.
I've probably spent £1,800 already.
On what?
What are we talking about? Are we talking about my... Does this include...
Well, they've included travel insurance, but we're not going anywhere.
Oh, in that case, it definitely includes...
Gifts.
In that case, and stop interrupting me, in that case, does it include Christmas shows? Because they are very expensive Christmas shows. If you want to see...
What? Home Alone with a full orchestra?
That was £70 each.
Surely they paid us to go to that.
That was so good. You're so mean. Everyone loved that. And you quite enjoyed it as well. When Marv screams when Kevin McAllister puts the tarantula on his face, it will never not be the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's so good. Okay, so if it involves Christmas shows, I've probably spent £1,800 already, because we went to see Home Alone, that was £70 each. We're going to see A Christmas Carol, that was loads. And we're going to see Peter Pan Goes Wrong. For a family of four...
Should we cost out our Christmas then?
Well, that's going to involve a lot of like digging through old emails to find out what...
But we can
costs.
See if you can guess the price of a Christmas cake to the nearest £1,000.
Christmas cake. I'm not getting Christmas cake this year because I'm hoping to get some off your sister. Because she always makes a Christmas
cake. So you're doing like £1,000 on Royal Albert Hall shows, but going to beg food from my relatives.
Yeah, yeah. That's, she loves it when you
take
food.
That's your classic failure to grasp the balancing up of things.
Your sister lives for me to go like, can I have some of your Christmas cake? And she goes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And her mince pies.
Yeah, and her mince pies, which she makes herself. Okay, so you want to cost out Christmas. Okay, fine.
Well, Britons are spending nearly £3...
You haven't spent anything on Christmas yet because you haven't bought a single present, whereas I've bought loads of stuff. Because I hate Christmas shopping in December because it's all crowded with people with their puffy jackets and their smelly breath. Blech. So I do everything in November, basically.
But it's Christmassy doing it in December.
It's Christmassy doing it under... The way that you do your Christmas shopping, right, which is very smart and does require nerves of steel, which is to do it basically on Christmas Eve. You've done that before. You said when you were in your 20s, you should just go to Selfridges on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, when
and the place was empty.
Everything's on sale. Yeah. Half price. And particularly this year, it's got so expensive, everyone's going to run out of money by December the 22nd.
Yes,
and they'll be giving stuff away.
Yeah. I think, yes.
Shall I buy you a generator?
Yes. And I tell you what else I want. I want a home vacuum pack machine. It's like, it's about this big. It's about the length of like a piece of an A4 paper. And you can like vacuum. So you can eat, like if you've got a big bag of crisps, you can have some. And then you can vacuum seal the crisps back so they stay really fresh. I want one of those as well.
You want me to write down a vac? You really want this
home vacuum sealer.
Home vacuum sealer.
No, I'm only joking. No, don't get me that. It's fine.
Do you want that?
No. Well, yeah, but I'll get it myself.
Didn't your sister say it? Was the time when Xander bought your sister Hannah, his wife, a Dyson.
Handheld Dyson, yeah.
A handheld Dyson for Christmas. And then I came upon some rule, which is never buy a woman a present with a plug on it.
Well, you bought
lewd joke here.
Yeah. Although you bought me my Dyson Airwrap.
It was a bloody good present, but I was quite worried
about
whether it fell into the plug-in category.
You're talking to a woman who wants a home vacuum packer.
Wants a generator so she can plug things into her.
Yes.
Do you really want a home generator?
No, I don't. Well, you're not going to. You want to go and do. No, you buy me some fucking diamonds, for God's sake.
Okay. Diamonds. We'll just factor that into the cost of Christmas.
Yeah. That's your 1,800 quid right there.
A column about the cost of Christmas is probably actually how to do it free. And it's along the lines of the Christmas rake. So basically, what we do is we regurgitate. Look, Christmas, you drag out. This is what it is. At Christmas, you drag out last year's decorations. This column is the equivalent of an artificial tree.
Yeah.
You saw it last year. You're seeing it again. It's Christmas. Shut up. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
leave the shut up and fuck off. But
yeah. I always leave the shut up. The shut up fuck off is implied in every column I ever write.
Yes.
But that's the column. How to have a free Christmas?
What, like begging Christmas cake off Auntie Toria?
Perfect. Exactly. You can bet your bottom bollock that tomorrow's T2, and that's Thursday, so the future will tell, we'll have how to have a cheaper Christmas.
Yeah.
In fact, it's probably all around. They've
already done, the Times have already run a thing about someone buying all her Christmas presents from
That's the
charity.
Rented Christmas.
No, there's a rented Christmas, and the rented Christmas was good. That was in the Telegraph, actually. Yeah. And the Times ran something about how to buy everything from charity shops, which is a feature that I wrote for the Daily Mail when I was 26.
Just a sort of a lovely circularity as we draw near to the end of this Christmas column, and the sound of sleigh bells is heard on the roof. That if we're talking about kind of horseshit journalism you have to consume at Christmas, we already know, having seen this story, we've already had the annual charity Christmas, rented Christmas, secondhand Christmas.
Yeah.
And so there's absolutely
free Christmas.
No reason not
so
to do it again.
So it's got to be done in the ludicrous spirit of supply chain failure Christmas, and also in the ludicrous spirit of my grandfather's nettling boots. Yeah, so really to like off the wall stuff. So your Christmas tree is going to be
a Christmas bollard. Do they still have bollards?
They do have bollards. They have a Christmas traffic cone.
Yeah, the Christmas. Well, bollard's a funnier word. I hate bollard, to sort of come all
no, that's
genius
fine.
With you, but
that's fine. But, or steal a Belisha beacon from a.
No,
from
Christmas bollard person. Is funny. A Christmas bollard. Bollard is funny, just as is any word that ends with unt.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
To find out what I wrote about in the end, pick up a copy of the paper or treat yourselves to a digital subscription.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.